This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-G-G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't
with G-G-G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
With G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty? Huh?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man, and we're back at it. Yeah, it's been another week. It's been another dope week of advertising. Yeah, you're back on CliffCentral.com with your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. Hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem. It's at B-L-A-X-E-M on Twitter. I'm out of breath. Jeez, like, that Drew Hill will do that to you. That Drew Hill will get you. You know, these kids don't know. You know, this is the equivalent of, like, you know, how these mumble rappers don't know what rapping exactly was like. You know? Then it's like how these guys say they're singing these days. Eh? And they're just lying back on couches doing vocals. That's not singing. This Drew Hill shit, this was singing. Eh? Jumping up and down on stage while you sing Tell Me If It Ain't Good Enough For You, babe. That's from my time. Those are the boys, Drew Hill. And I just took it back. It's because I actually spoke to someone 2 days ago. It reminded me of my R&B roots, and how I should never neglect my R&B roots, because that shit is important. And while you guys are out here trying to get me to do funny things, yeah, to cramp. Is that what you guys are up to these days? You're cramping? but wow. It's your boy, G-Man, Ad-Man, and we're back at it, guys. It's been another dope week of dope advertising and crap advertising. But I mean, it's been a dope week of advertising nonetheless. I have some dope stuff I want to share with you guys today. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that I've also got a guest in the studio with me today. I'll introduce you to him in a little bit. He's here hanging out. He's early. You know, there's nothing better than an early guest, guys. You know, like all these other guests, like for the past 2 weeks, Ntando and him, yeah, keep me waiting and shit. But not this guy. This guy was, yeah, he's early, he's chilled out. You know, he wants to know the format. You know what I mean? That's that shit. That's oh, God, that's fantastic. You know, guys, man, I mean, you guys know that it's hard for me. It's hard for me to ignore the Bafana Bafana effect in our lives. It's a tough thing for me to let go of because of just what it is. You know, like, I'm one of those people that, like, have been advised. I've been told a few times, leave this shit alone. Bafana Bafana are going to hurt your feelings. And somehow, for some reason, I mean, I'm here every day. You know, I can't look away. I'm lying on the couch. I'm like, guys, I should be looking the other way. But no, I'm watching the game. And they did it. They did it. Like every consistent brand, they did it. They lost. They were consistent in their bullshit. And I just think that, you know, like, it's a terrible realization that maybe what we have to do is just give up on this brand. You know what I mean? Just kind of go, but maybe that's what it is. And I've said this before. Maybe Bafana Bafana is due a rebrand. You know, like how some brands were just like fucked out, you know, and they kind of said, you know what? Maybe we need to try this another way. Remember the time when Lion Lager rebranded for the first time, and they thought that it was okay to go for the black youth, and they rebranded to a blue brand. I mean, it didn't work, but somebody knew that something needed to be done. So they rebranded Lion Lager, and I think it's about time that we Lion Lager the fuck out of Bafana Bafana right now, and rebrand the fuck out of these guys. I don't know. You know, my previous president, Mr. Thabo Mbeki, once said that, you know, maybe it's in the name Bafana Bafana, you know. Maybe we should, you know, I mean, we're out there playing against guys called Chipolopolo of Zambia, the Copper Pullets. Yeah? We're just called boys playing against the Copper Pullets. We're never going to win. You know what I mean? Somebody actually said, I can't believe Bafana Bafana lost to Notre Dame. I mean, guys, that's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. And maybe the less said about Bafana Bafana the better, because it's not fun. But yeah, I mean, let's see where they end up. But speaking of Chipolopolo of Zambia, last week, almost immediately after I left the show, I got into a plane and I went to Zambia. Went to Lusaka. Huge shout out to the homies out there in Lusaka. My new homies out there. Shout out to the homie Kavo and his friends at and the rest of the squad at Black Dot. Had a great hangout with those guys. But those guys, they do something. I'd never heard of something like this before. The six pack of Jameson. Eh? I think that deserves a round of applause. Six pack of Jameson, guys. I mean, don't let anybody tell you any different. If you know anybody out there in the ad game, I mean, we all go to Lurie's and we have tequilas and all that shit, and we think we can throw shit back. These guys are having a six pack, guys. A six pack of Jameson. Don't fuck around, guys. Don't fuck around with my Lusaka squad, yo. So huge shout out to the homies out in Lusaka. Hope to see you guys again sometime soon. In fact, I will be seeing you guys sometime soon. You guys need to check out some of the stuff the guys are doing out there. The ad game is blowing up out there as well. And in fact, the homie Cover was telling me that he was out here for the Lurie's. And yeah, man. I had some dope conversations with some people about some dope things out there. And I'm excited. I'm excited for what's going on in Lusaka out there. In fact, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm actually going to introduce you guys to my guest, because this next news item actually pertains to him and kind of one, well, the first time I hung out with homie. So in the studio with me today, guys, you guys might have, I mean, if you are anywhere near your computer pretty much once a week and you're in the ad game, you probably get an email from these cats, or you probably see your news feed on Facebook come through from these cats, and they're telling you about all the stuff that you kind of thought you knew everything about what's going on in the game, and then there's somebody who just gives you an email saying, I bet you didn't know this. Well, in this studio with me today is Mr. Uno Duval of Between 10 and 5. What's going on, Mr. Uno Duval?
What's up? How's it going?
Hey, man, it's good, man. It's good to have you in the studio. It's been a while, man.
It has been, yeah. It has been a while since we hung out.
And I mean, I've been trying to get you on the show for a while. So huge shout out to Mr. Cheese Quinchette for making it happen. I kind of made it happen.
Yeah.
But I let him facilitate.
Yes. You need someone to kind of make the connections. You know
what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? But you, how have you been? Tell me what you've been up to. What have you been up to?
Yeah. We've 10 and 5 is kind of we're in another growth phase for ourselves. You know, we've just hired a new editor, Stefani Jason.
Shout out Steph.
Yeah, she's been with us for about five months, I think.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in a new phase for the site again.
Yeah.
Some exciting stuff. So good, but then also there's the entrepreneur world, which is shit, you know. It's like businesses are doing this, the site doing that. There's lots of different facets, I think, to life.
That's dope. But we're gonna get into the details of that. So Uno and I, when we first met, we met going to Botswana. We had just arrived in Botswana, actually, for Ideas Expo.
Yes, right? That's right.
And it's happening again. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just speaking about the stuff that's happening in our neighboring countries. And Ideas Expo 17 is happening. So huge shout out to the homies in Botswana. Go out there and go check out Ideas Expo. Happening between the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. And like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening. It says over 10 speakers, 72 hours of commercial creativity, a lifetime of inspiration. I mean, you can see they've got a copywriter. You know what I mean? You know, a lifetime of inspiration. But it's dope. But tell me, Uno, what was your experience of Ideas Expo when you were out there?
Yeah, I liked it. I think that the talks format was cool. That's kind of one of the main reasons that I wanted to go is to go check out kind of what Botswana is doing, what kind of interest they have in the creative sector.
Yeah.
I think that platforms like award shows, conferences, they show that an industry is healthy.
That's right.
That you need that in different countries to kind of establish kind of a pool or a thing around that people can connect around.
Absolutely.
And that's important for the industry to grow. So I think it's important for something like that to happen in a local context. You can't just have the Lurie's in Botswana.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So you need these local things to grow and to have it. And they've had amazing speakers. I mean, they've had the ideas experts had better speakers than most conferences. Yeah.
It's boom. Like
amazing.
Boom. Yeah. You see, if you're out there in Botswana, you heard it from Uno. Yeah. Right? I mean, they've had better speakers than most conferences. And me and him have both spoken at this yeah. shit. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. But that's really dope. So yeah, that's happening between the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. And it's going to be all types of things. I know. I think Donovan's speaking this year.
You see?
Right?
Exactly. Yeah?
The one who looks like Nina Hasty. So Donovan's speaking out there. And I know George Macheke of Marvin's Room. Marvin and Marvin's Room and all that. He's going to be speaking there as well. But there's also going to be a whole bunch of things happening there, guys. So it says here, on the 8th, for example, Chieza's here. Huge shout out to you, Chieza, for showing up. Yeah, sure. So on the 8th, it says there's going to be a conference day, and then there's going to be an exhibition at the University of Botswana, a new conference center, and then Marvin's Rooftop. That's the thing I was telling you guys about with my main man, Mr. George Macheke. Absolute and Elix Lounge, Master Square Hotel. That sounds like a party. 1800 hours till late. Yeah, that's the other thing I learned in Lusaka. You know, when they talk about the time, you know, they talk about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you just say at 15.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, we're going to have lunch at 15. And I'm like, oh, that's dope.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm like, it's 15 a place. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, yeah, dinner is only at 17. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that's dope. Once again, huge shout out to my homies out there in Lusaka. So yeah, guys, go check it out. Music for Worms is also going to be happening at Ideas Expo on the 9th. You guys do want to be going to go check that out. This is also at Absolute and Elix Lounge, Master Square Hotel from 2 o'clock. I mean, talk about a plug. I mean, I plug my cats real good. Anyway, but that's what's happening in Botswana. So, hey, guys. So, our friends Bell Potinja. Yeah. So, last week, it happened over the weekend, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, over the weekend, they announced that Bell Potinja had been essentially expelled from the PR body in England and I guess subsequently, you know, everywhere else. I don't think it'll be tough for them to get work. So huge shout out to you guys out there for causing shit enough for Bell Potinja to know that they can't fuck with us. But I mean, stuff like this, you know, like how do you think this affects an entire industry? Like PR, for example, right?
Yeah.
Do you think then like that the whole PR industry now comes under like unnecessary scrutiny because people do shit like this?
Yeah, I think that obviously has a massive impact on trust. So how do people trust the news that they read? They know that there's a spin doctor behind something.
Yeah.
They know that there's some kind of a PR hype around this thing. So I think the industry must take a knock.
Yeah.
Yes, there are obviously good players. Like, there's loads of great players in the PR industry, and we often try and do our own PR game as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, PR is a good thing, but you also get people that are Muppets and do shit like that, you know? Like, they do things like these, like this, that bring a whole industry into disrepute. And you see the same in advertising.
Yeah,
and you see the same in fucking plumbing. Yeah. You know? So, and now suddenly the plumbing industry is shit because your, like, dishwasher was installed. Like, that's one guy, you know?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, this is G-Man the Ad, man. We talk about everything from advertising, PR, and plumbing. We represent every industry that needs to be represented out here on G-Man the Ad, man. But you're absolutely right. It's like you know, how like some people make bad ads.
Yeah.
And have you ever had people like call you because they kind of know you're associated with advertising and say, guys, I can't believe you guys made that ad.
Yeah.
You know, everyone thinks you're the one who's responsible.
Yeah. That's like, your aunt calling you because her computer's stuffed up.
Yeah.
You know, computers, right? It's like, I worked on a computer, but yeah, that's not it.
Oh, that's crazy shit. So, yeah. I mean, I feel nothing for the Bell Potinja, you guys. They want to accept briefs like that or not want to, because some of them were saying they didn't interrogate the brief enough to know that what they were doing is what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So fuck off though.
But you know, like, I think it's good that they got expelled from a body, and I think that's the important point to take out. There was a body
that took action. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If there's nothing, if there's no infrastructure, then there wouldn't have been such a fallout. Then there would have just been business as usual.
You're right.
But because there is a body that makes a hoo-ha and kicks them out, then it's like, okay, cool, they did something wrong, and other clients can then see, oh, these guys are dodgy ass.
Yeah. No, look, I agree with you, but it took an investigation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think you kind of touched on the point a little earlier. Like you actually, after something like this, you never know what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it feels like it's one of those things that like can influence a whole sphere of things. You know, so for example, I just spoke about this fucking Bafana Bafana thing earlier.
Yeah.
But there was a time when before the South Africa World Cup, it was alleged that Bafana's matches were fixed.
Yeah.
Obviously for PR. Yeah. Obviously, so that people can go, Bafana Bafana have a chance at the World Cup. So Bafana, like all these matches were fixed. So that, and then you start thinking, what's real?
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? You're like,
I mean, even now the Cyril Ramaphosa thing as well. Like some publications are saying this, other publications, you can see the spin kind of happening against the spin that's happening.
Guys. It's time to rebrand, I guess. Because that's normally
apparently the Bafana name is going open now.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, hey, guys, maybe Paul Pottinger, while they're trying to figure out their lives, can take on the Bafana job. Right? So they can rebrand Bafana. And spin PR. I mean, not with the tactics that they use up until now. But let's see if they can introduce, you know, something along the lines of a Bafana Capital. Something, guys. Give us something. So hit us up, guys. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at Blaximus, BLAXEM. I'm hanging out with my man, Mr. Uno Duval. If you have any questions, any comments for him, anything about between 10 and 5, anything about the new editor, Miss Steph Jason, talk to us, because we've got a whole lot of things we want to chat about, and we've got a whole lot of time. You know, we're hanging out. So the other thing that's happened, guys, is I saw the Lurie's list. I have it here somewhere. The Lurie's list of 2016 was brought out, I think it was yesterday.
What is it, 2016, not 2017?
I get it. It's the 2016/17. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, you know, it'll say 16 because next year it'll say 17. Ah, you know, it's in retrograde.
Yeah.
It's a retrospective view on everything. So it says here, the rankings, and I mean, it goes all the way up to, I mean on my screen can only take up until 22 because they rank everyone, you know what I mean? Even the guy.
Where are you on that?
Wait a minute. Uno, what's going on? What are you doing? I'm asking the questions. Yeah? Guys, that's Uno Duval being controversial on the show, trying to change the format. That's why he was asking about the format when he got here.
Because you want to put my own stamp on things.
Yeah. So I got to hear from like number 22, which was Grey Advertising. That shares the 22 spot with Black River. Number 20 is Geometry Global, which shares the number 20 spot with FCB Johannesburg. Number 18 is shared by MNC Sachi Able and Grid. 16, there's like a whole lot of like sharing. 16 is shared by Publicis Machine Cape Town and Fairly Famous. I don't know who Fairly Famous are. You know Fairly Famous are? Fairly Famous, if you're out there, hit us up. Let us know who you are. Maybe
we can make you famous.
We can make you absolutely famous. Yeah. But I mean, they're more famous than someone. No. Let's not do that. And number 15 is Utopia. 13 is shared by Native VML and King James. 9 is shared by, 4 agencies. DDB, FCB Cape Town, Joe Public, and Marlon Lowe. And then number 8 is FCB 1886. Number 7 is Network BBDO. 6 is Fox P2. 5, Wynard Cape Town. 4, Open Co. 3, TBWA Handler Scars Johannesburg. 2, Ogilvy Cape Town. And number 1 is Ogilvy Johannesburg. So huge shout out to everyone out there, guys. Huge shout out. You guys did well, man. You guys did really well. At a show that you know, at a weekend that had its controversy, you know, like there were a lot of people who were not very convinced. How did you feel about it?
There's always people that are like miffed that they didn't win.
Yeah, that's it though, right?
Always.
Right? Yeah,
I think we've spoken about this before. Though. Like you play the ad game, you enter the awards.
Yeah.
If you don't win, shut up and give out. Don't knock the whole.
Boom!
Don't knock the whole ad industry game. You know?
Because
we're all in the same boat here. Yeah. Like we're all committed to the. Just don't fucking enter.
Yeah.
Like don't make a hoo-ha about the awards are expensive and blah 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 blah.
But you entered.
Yeah. And people do care about it. Clients do care about it. And deep down inside, you care about it too.
Absolutely.
You only care about it when you win.
Yeah.
When you don't win, then you're like, oh, this is a bunch of crock of shit, you know? But no, like you have to be consistent in that.
Yeah.
And if you've said that it's a crock of shit the one year, you can't
next
go and enter
year,
the next year.
Can't enter again.
Nah, doesn't work like that. It doesn't work that way.
Maybe we should do that then. If you are officially like unhappy with the Lurie's, maybe tell us, give us your name. And let's put it down.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And let's embargo you for like a year.
Yes, exactly.
Because you hate it, right? You hate
it. Exactly.
Until you calm down.
Yeah.
Let's give
a public apology, name and shame, tar and feather.
Let's give you 24 months to calm your ass down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't enter next year. Because you're absolutely right. You know, it's like people want to say, oh man, this is shit, this was rubbish. But that's only because they didn't win.
Exactly.
You know, if you had won alongside those Dubai cats,
yeah,
you probably would have said, "Ah, guys, I feel like you're being harsh."
Yeah. Oh, you know, my work is of international standard. Yeah. I was here against the Dubai guys, you know, which is exactly the fucking point that the Lurie's is trying to do. So, I didn't follow who won or who lost that much. Unfortunately, I couldn't go this year.
Yeah.
But I still feel like it's a relevant platform. It's an absolutely relevant platform. I think that there's a gap for some other award shows in South Africa a little bit more. But it's a totally relevant platform for... And I think what Andrew's trying to do to put it on a global stage and make South African ad practitioners a little bit more relevant and not so navel-gazing just their own work and actually have to compete against the likes of Dubai, I think it's a good thing.
That's great, man. I love that. Guys, it's Mr. Uno Duval in the stew, guys. I like when people come here and don't pull punches, because that's exactly what the show is about. You know, like, I think it's okay for us to kind of, you know, find euphemisms for all the shit that we want to say, but actually it's really, really important, I think, that we have the real conversations about what's going on out there. So I just got a tweet out here from Mr. Paul Muller. He says, hello.
What's up, Paul?
Tune into Blacksim from Ogilvy Cape Town. Huge shout out to Ogilvy Cape Town. You guys are doing big things.
Paul, I hope you won an award.
Yeah, exactly.
I think 90% of the people at Ogilvy must have won.
And I also got calls here saying, Blacksim taking us back to his days on Bua FM. G-Man the Ad-Man. That was some Drew Hill. Cause you know that's what I'm about, son. You know that's what I'm about. Mamere. You know what time it is. Safari Cindy says we must embargo him. He says we must embargo him from the Lurie's, because you've been talking some shit about the Lurie's as well, Seth. I think you're absolutely right. But you know, some people make the point about, you know, other award shows, and I mean, I don't want to dwell on this too much because we spoke about it last week. You know, but like, the point is, you know, if the US can have, like, you know, you can have the Grammys, and then and then someone can also have, like, the American Music Awards.
Yeah.
Right? And then someone else can have, you know, the BET Awards.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's the MTV VMAs, there's the BETs, there's
exactly. But I guess the question then becomes, which one becomes is the one that we call the standard, or do we acknowledge all of them as having a standard of some kind? Does that standard waver? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like then the conversation becomes, you know, if someone starts their own, you know, Khari Awards, does that mean that you know what I mean? There's credibility.
I think it all adds up to, like, what the industry agrees upon.
Yeah.
And yes, that does create barriers to entry for other people to enter the market and all that kind of stuff. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
But I think that's the point of something of a certain cachet.
That's
you
right.
want it to have a little bit. It can't be that easy to enter or that easy to win. That's the whole point. So I think that there's a lot of, like, small little award things, like the L Style Reporter Award or whatever. Those are cool. Those help build profiles for young people. I mean, it's helped a lot of young photographers to get to where they are at moment. And the same for a lot of other smaller things. Like Cosmo, I think Cosmo's running, like, an Instagrammer award at the moment.
Is it?
That's, like, a good thing for them, you know? I think that's a great...
Well done, Cosmo.
Yeah, that's going to do a certain thing for a certain audience, you know?
Absolutely.
And in that small little world, it absolutely makes sense. And then maybe it grows to be something bigger, and maybe some... Yeah. Networks form together and build a bigger platform.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, last week we spoke to some of the winners. But there's one we didn't get to speak to because he's been on the show a few times. Is Tippy Dang. So huge shout out to you, Tippy Dang, one more time for winning. But guys, I heard Tippy Dang had a winning party. So you guys don't understand what this means. He was at a club and he had a party with his friends for the Lurie's. I mean, talk about the Lurie's blowing up, guys. You know, the Lurie's commercializing into the party space. I wonder if he took his Lurie to the party. Did the Lurie make it to the party? Tippy Dang, did it make it out? where was it? I heard it was like Taboo or some shit like that. You know, so Tippy Dang, hit us up, man. Let us know how that party was, and whether this is something we should be looking forward to for the years going forward. Because this is exactly how the Chairman's Party was born. It was a thing, and then it became a thing. So maybe this post winning party could become a thing in conjunction with the guys at Taboo.
You can only enter if you have a Lurie.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's going to be a very sparsely populated party. Is that right?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
Only Ogilvy. It's basically at the Ogilvy office. That's it. Yeah.
Anyway, guys, I'm hanging out with my friend, Mr. Uno Duval. Shots fired the whole way. But I mean, and I'm glad we're talking about you know, like the young people entering the industry and all that. Let's get into the Uno story, right?
Yeah.
So like, cool. where did the whole thing kind of start for you? I mean, way before like even the idea of 10 and 5 hatched or anything. Like, where did it start for you? Where were you in high school? Were you at high school?
I was at school in Jan van Riebeck High School in Cape Town.
Shout out Jan van Riebeck. Now that's something you never thought you'd hear me say. Shout out Jan van Riebeck.
I know it's not one of those things that you proudly proclaim these days, you know. No, but it is it's a cool school. It's quite diverse. It's got a lot of super rich, wealthy people, and also a broad network of disadvantaged people. Also, it has a good network of people in one mix. So I went to Stellenbosch after that. I studied this weird degree called BA Value and Policy Studies.
What?
Yeah.
What's that even about?
Value and policy. So you take values of people and values of society and organizations, and you build policies to move strategy forward. So you do a little bit of like forward planning, risk analysis, strategy work.
So it's like running a municipality, essentially.
So a lot of people go into city planning. A lot of people go into city planning, corporate strategy, some journalists as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's quite a broad degree.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope.
The idea is that you do something specialized after that.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of municipalities, shout out to, here's another thing you never thought you'd hear me say. Shout out to Hemant Mashaba, guys. So apparently there's been a power outage in downtown for a couple of days, like 7 days, right? But it's because these fucks had stolen like 15 million rands worth of copper. But Hemant Mashaba was on Twitter yesterday taking photos with the guys that have been arrested, calling them perpetrators of guys who steal our infrastructure. So for the people out there, Hemant Mashaba, policy and running the municipality. Thank you so much.
Big ups.
Carry on.
So I was at Stellenbosch and I'm not a very good student. I'm fucking lazy, actually. So I think I partied a lot. I was DJing at a bar. I was involved in a lot of societies, actually. So I was part of the film society, part of the improv comedy society. I kind of got involved quite a bit in extramural stuff.
Right.
I'm quite a organization. I like structures and leadership things. So I'm quite involved with that kind of stuff.
Dope.
And then I got on the student council. So student council for media.
Right.
And in that media world, I got exposed to the student newspaper.
Ah.
And I tried to do this thing to help newspapers get online. So a lot of the reses ran their own newspapers.
Right.
So it's all like fucking printed things. Yeah. You know?
But what goes in a res newspaper? Like so and so, please, like stop masturbating. Stop masturbating in their toilets. It's clogging up the showers.
Yeah.
Is it that
there was stuff like that, right?
Cool.
So there was like this publishing was happening. So I tried to get the Dimati online, which was the newspaper. And I tried to build a system for a lot of the school the res newspapers to run off so they could have an online platform instead of, and this is like before blogging was a thing.
This is like 2004 kind of thing.
We started the first campus-wide newsletter as well. So we had a newsletter that went out to everyone.
Yeah.
That was the first time that actually existed.
That's insane, man.
So I kind of got into this publishing thing, communication, that kind of world.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, I didn't finish my degree. So I swapped out in my first year from...
Look at Cheese celebrating in the background. Yeah. I didn't finish my degree. Yeah, me too. Fuck degrees.
Yeah, the degree consisted of politics, philosophy, economics.
Yeah.
And then also this value and policy component as well. So I swapped from business management to economics in my first year. So I kind of had this extended thing. And then I started working in my... I think it was my fifth year, actually.
Yeah.
And I had this terrible experience of watching Idiocracy the night before my final exam. It's like a re-exam. I felt so stupid after that movie. I just couldn't function study at all. And so I've failed that.
Yeah.
And then I started working at this kind of tech company.
Okay.
A marketing company that uses tech.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't finish the degree. Yeah. But
plus, they were not looking for degrees at that place.
Yeah. At that point as well, when I had finished my studies, kind of in that wrap up period, I was blogging a lot. I'd started writing, and there was a lot of people that started at the same time, like Mike Stopforth, Nick Carolumbus.
Right.
A lot of other people were also blogging, and we kind of formed a little network of people. Hey, checking out your blog. Check out your blog, Dave Duarte. Shout outs to the old guys.
Huge shout out to the first school of bloggers.
Yeah. So there was like this wave of blogging kind of coming through, and Web 2.0 was a buzzword at that time. And I'd studied a little bit of organizational theory, and I was quite interested in publishing and knowledge management, because knowledge management was part of the
Greek. Knowledge management.
Yeah, so how does knowledge flow inside an organization?
Right.
And so I got an internship at, I had two companies that I was going to intern. One was Acceleration and one was Quirk.
Right.
At the time, Quirk was a little bit more advertising focused, and Acceleration was a little bit more marketing focused.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the marketing side a little bit more, but I built I actually cloned Quirk's website for my CV. So I cloned the whole website. I put all my info in it. So it was like this Quirk website. I sent the link onto the guys and it was like all this Uno information. Yeah. They're like, fuck, we got hacked. What the hell's going on here? So it was like a quick way to cut through the clutter,
that's
right?
That's dope. That's dope, man.
Got the interview, but then the other guys offered me a little bit, like fractionally, like $500 more.
You know,
when it's on like that kind of like intern,
you know
that
time.
$500 more.
Charlie, bro.
Yeah.
And so then I started interning at Acceleration as a Web 2.0 intern.
That's so dope.
I think it was Enterprise 2.0. I coined the buzzword.
Yeah, Enterprise 2.0.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That's what you must do, guys. Create your own shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So my job was to kind of implement wikis and blogs inside the organization, so we would have kind of shared knowledge platforms for the company. It was spread out over London, Cape Town, Joburg. I was an intern, like I didn't really know what I was doing, I didn't know what it kind of entailed. So, but it was cool. Like I learned a lot from there. That got me a position at 24.com. So at 24.com was my first job, and I was a product manager there.
Right.
So
what does that mean? What does that mean being a product manager at 24.com?
So they have lots of different apps and tools and stuff that they have. So I'm trying to think of an example. But we had a Facebook competitor that we started that they had started up that we wanted me to manage.
That's insane shit, man.
Yeah, but like this was before Facebook was a thing. I think they just launched in the US.
Yeah.
So Naspress was like, cool, there's this thing.
There's this thing going on.
But I had one developer and one designer. And there was just no way that I would
ever gonna compete
on any level.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot about project management, about agile project development, a lot of web stuff.
Yeah.
And because I have this hacking background, I was like, I built all my blogs myself. I hacked that Quirk. So I was like, I have a little bit of technical knowledge, but I'm not a coder. I'm not a developer.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot on how to do like minimum viable product development.
Absolutely.
Then from there, I've always kind of wanted to get into advertising, and I wanted to do this thing, and the Utterbuzz thing, which was the name of the social network, it was kind of winding down, and I didn't really enjoy the company that much.
It was cool.
It was like a Naspers, Media 24, amazing thing, right?
Yeah.
At that point, I think Jason Probert and Graham Cumming, who started Vuzu, approached me.
Oh, huge shout out to the homies at Vuzu. What's up? What's going on?
Yeah. So they asked, they're starting this new TV channel.
Yeah.
Got a social network baked into it, like all this digital stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want to move up to Joburg and start this thing with them? I was like, fuck no. Are you nuts? Are you insane? Like, I'm Cape Town, bro. Like, there's no way you're going to get me away from the mountain. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm insulted, actually, that you think I would move, right? Like... So then I quit, and then I started my own company with two other friends. It was a side project for the other two. And it was we called it Max Rover, and it was a research strategy and innovation agency
or something like that.
Yeah. We did three things.
Sounds a lot like Mars Rover.
Yeah. So the whole thing was based around like this dog persona, of this hunter and about your best friend.
That's right.
So we would develop agency research. So in a strategy, you always have to do research, and then you synthesize those different ideas into one strategy.
Absolutely.
So our thing was like, we'll help with the research part. We'll put together the white label documents. You share that with your client or with your internal creative teams. But we didn't know the first thing about research or strategy. I haven't worked in advertising at all.
Yeah.
I had two friends, Sean Bontes and Johan Schweller, we started this thing together.
Yeah.
They would stay at their day jobs and kind of feed me what you should be looking at.
Yeah.
Right? And then we got together every once a week to kind of look at what was happening, and I would then roll out strategies for some of the clients that we landed.
That's insane, man. You know, yeah. Hold on. Wait, you're running a bit too fast for me. So here's what I think. I think what's really dope is, and the sense that I'm getting because I'm familiar with 10 and 5, that you've always been about kind of the parallel existence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it always feels like, and 10 and 5 for me always feels like that. It always feels like, you know, you thought you knew what was going on in advertising.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's going to be an interview on 10 and 5 that makes you go, wait, what?
Wait, what? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly
and,
what we want.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it feels like that's always, has that always been something that you've been curious about, kind of creating a parallel universe?
I think so. I think I like existing on the fringe.
Yeah.
I like existing, like, outside of the main networks and tapping into it. Even at Stellenbosch, like, yeah. Bro, if you would have seen me, you would not have been friends with me. I was fucking weird.
Yeah.
I think I had in my first year, I had like half a beard. I had a nose ring, like a septum ring in the middle.
I can see it. You know, here at G-Man, the Ed-Man, I mean, we give everybody benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So even there, like, I might be Afrikaans, but I'm certainly not Afrikaans.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't have, like, I'm not culturally Afrikaans
yeah,
at
yeah.
all. Like, I think most Afrikaans people are fucking weird.
Yeah.
Even, like, the rest of my family, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, but weird.
Yeah, they're just, like, they're in a different world,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I exist in a different world to a lot of other people.
Absolutely. So tell me how you arrived then at 10 and 5. How do you go?
Yeah, so now we have this Max Rover thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This Max Rover thing, we need to do research, we need to do strategy,
yeah.
we need to find out all the stuff. And we started, I've been using a lot of apps and stuff like Delicious for bookmarking,
yeah,
social
yeah.
bookmarking and stuff like that. So I thought, well, let's start a blog where we can start cataloging all the stuff that we see.
Right.
So there's often like, you see an ad campaign somewhere, but where else do you go and reference that again?
Right,
so
right.
so
oh, yes,
I
yes,
see
yes,
a billboard
yes.
somewhere, but how do I find that billboard online?
Yeah.
There's no way for me to find that online. Remember, this is 2008.
Yeah. Sure.
So
yeah.
there's no...
See, what, 11, 9 years ago? It's nine years ago.
So 2008, it's actually, this is our birthday month. Our
yeah?
birthday's on the 28th.
Yeah, you shout out, guys.
Yeah.
What's going on? Guys, hopefully there'll be cake and tequila sometime soon.
Yeah. So back then there was no like platform to see this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Biz Community was doing its thing, but it was shit.
Yeah.
You couldn't see, and it's still shit. I think
Boom.
Most people will agree. So we wanted a place where we could show our friends' work in
yeah,
one place
right.
and also have, cool, I see advertising. That's cool. I want to put that on a place.
Yeah.
I see this cool like interior design thing, like someone's redesigned their office. I want to put that somewhere.
Right.
I want to document a party that happened somewhere as well. Because these are all things that when you're doing advertising strategy, you shouldn't just look at advertising.
Yeah. You
if
should
you
look
do,
at the place that advertising
exactly.
exists in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's culture. It's
That's
what is
right.
culture driving? What's culture doing at the moment?
Absolutely.
And so we started the site and we said, well, cool, let's start this thing. But how are we going to get like, what are we going to put on the site? So we
yeah.
said, well, we don't want to put the whole portfolio of someone online.
Yeah.
So we said, show me the last, the premise would be, show me between 5 and 10 things that you're busy with.
Ah.
So someone asks you about your show, for example.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me about the last 5 to 10 people that you've interviewed.
Yeah.
Less than 5 and it doesn't give me enough meat.
Yeah. But
more
just
than,
between then.
More than 10 and it's too much. Then
that's
it's like,
right.
You lost me, right?
Ah, got you.
So the name comes, show me between 5 and 10 things that you're busy with.
That's so dope.
Yeah.
That's what, I had all kinds of theories about where the name came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Between 10 and 5, yeah, those are the only hours where you work.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, don't wake me up before 9 o'clock for a meeting.
yeah,
but
yeah.
I also don't want to chat to you at 6 o'clock. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that's a really dope theory.
Yeah. So if you look at any agency, any creative person, you should be able to look at between 5 and 10 pieces of their work and
That's
get a
right.
good sense of what they are. Because I also feel like less
yeah.
than 5, you haven't built up enough of a portfolio
Absolutely.
For
Absolutely.
Us to necessarily get enough of what you're about.
Yeah.
Or you don't have a track record of what we would feature.
Yeah.
So that's the where the name comes from.
That's great,
then we wanted
right?
to register the domain 5and10.com.
Yeah.
It was taken, so we flipped it around to 10 and 5, and that's the thing that stuck.
That is so dope, dude.
And dude, we honestly launched it in the evening.
Really?
Like 28th of September 2008.
Yeah.
We were sitting there, cool, what are we going to do now? Like,
yeah.
what are we gonna, how can we collect all the stuff?
Yeah.
Let's start a blog. We didn't have a logo for like a year. Like, honestly, it was like a text logo, like
yeah.
a text
yeah.
thing there. It's like 10 and 5.
That's so dope,
that was
man.
It, yeah.
And I mean, it's obviously expanded now. It started off in a little room in Joburg
yeah.
somewhere.
Cape Town.
In Cape
so
Town,
this
sorry.
Is, I was still in Cape Town then.
Yes. Started off in a little room in Cape Town somewhere.
Yeah.
And then eventually someone convinced you that you should actually get on a plane and come to Joburg.
Yeah. So then.
Only you were able to convince yourself to come
yeah.
to Joburg.
So then I came. So then I was doing like, we were still doing a lot lot of research and strategy stuff on the side.
Yeah.
I came up to Joburg for the Moshito Music Conference as a speaker.
Ah,
so
they flew me up, put me up in
town somewhere. I can't forget the hotel's name. And I walked down to Museum Africa every day.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, it's Joburg. Yeah, Check this shit out, you know? And I just broken up with my girlfriend like a few months before that. 10 to 5, like the Max Rover business wasn't doing that great.
Right, it wasn't.
We had a couple of interns doing stuff for writing for 10 to 5, but like to be honest, it wasn't great.
I think
if we were clearing like just enough to make ends meet, and I was all me. I was pulling all the salary.
Yeah.
So then came back up to Joburg, and then I met up with Graham again and Jason, and they said, "Well, look, Vuz is still doing its thing. Do you want to be part of it?" They showed me a couple of places around Joburg. I went to like some of the shoots. I was like, "Yes, Joburg is rad."
Yeah.
I was staying in town, so I went to Kitchener's, and this is also in Kitchener's, right?
That'll do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I met up with old friends again. I was like, yes, I actually know a lot of people here.
Yeah.
I can totally do this.
That's dope.
And then I moved up in a month.
That's insane.
Yeah. So I didn't take the job. I took a consultancy at Vuzu.
At Vuzu, yeah.
And the idea was that it was kind of like a salary position. I was there full time. But I still had, so I got paid a check. And then I paid from that check, I think it was 20 grand at the time.
Yeah.
Then I still paid the intern writers that we had.
Oh,
and then
snap.
I still paid the overhead cost. And then I still had like the other stuff kind of coming up to Joburg as
That's
well.
Insane shit, man.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. Because for me, it also sounds like you know, there's also a way to overthink things.
Yeah.
Yet I find it sounding to me like you don't suffer from that. You don't suffer from like, let's over, in as much as like,
no,
you know,
I don't overanalyze at all.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I go and then buy the ticket, take the ride.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and also like you just said, oh yeah, I also just broken up with my girlfriend. That'll do it as well.
Yeah.
You know,
that'll
make you change towns and shit.
It was like an easy change, you know?
Yeah.
I was feeling like it was a good time to change, change cities.
So tell me, I mean.
But
I
it
mean,
was more, I must say, it was more Joburg that kind of brought me there rather than push factors from Cape Town.
Right,
I think
I
was bored of Cape Town in general.
Yeah.
And then Joburg showed, like, I think Joburg went through like a creative renaissance.
Yeah.
2009 until 2000.
Without a doubt.
I think it's on the tailwind a little bit at the moment.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to pop up again. Yeah. But there was like a real renaissance in that time.
So you speak about how like advertising and all strategies, you know, should be influenced by everything around them, right?
Yeah.
And from the time that you kind of started engaging with the game and advertising and all that, do you think that we have come closer to that, or do you still find that, you know, looking at the work that's out there, that there's still a whole lot of like desktop strategies being written without the influence?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't think enough people understand culture well enough, and that's why you see shit advertising,
absolutely,
and shit like things
happening. Yeah,
yeah. We curated the panels for LeaderX yesterday, that big leadership conference, and we ran the creativity track. And actually, one of my favorite talks was Neo Mashiko and our editor Stefani.
Shout out, OT, what's up?
And there was the diversity panel.
Yeah,
and it was. A lot of people think that, oh, fuck, we have to transform the industry and we have to be compliant and we have to be diverse. And it's kind of getting forced down on the organizations.
Yeah.
And a lot of talk beforehand was also around kind of different influences and different sources of inspiration.
Absolutely.
And then when you think of like, so the point is that I don't think enough campaigns and our strategies have diverse influences kind of feeding into
it. That's right. That's right.
And it's not because, it should not be a thing that we do because we have to do it or like it's a societal imperative to transform.
And it's legislature.
It's because of legislature.
Yeah.
No, you should be doing it because it's good for the campaign.
Absolutely.
And actually, like, if you look at management books and management consultants, they say, okay, guys, we're going to put on these different thinking hats, Edward de Bono's thinking hats, and think differently about this problem and force ourselves to think differently about the problem.
No.
Or you can just employ diverse people.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have it all the time.
Hats. Stop trying to wear all them hats.
Exactly. Then imagine you have the three different people from diverse backgrounds putting on the six
thinking
different
hats.
Thing
I
hats.
Mean,
then it's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah. That's
so
insane,
then you have
man.
16 or 18 different kinds of thinking hats instead of just six.
That's fantastic.
So I think like we understand that diversity is a good thing. but we don't implement it in the like day-to-day activities.
That is just insane. That is just insane. Uno Duval, get the fuck out of here with all that awesomeness.
But I think that that's often enough why the campaigns are so shit as well, because we don't think of we don't hear the different voices coming from different pools of influence.
So I mean, you know, like I always say, you know, like Cape Town kind of gets it from the show quite a bit, you know, because of the lack of the diversity that we keep talking about, and you can almost kind of always tell when an ad is coming out of the part of the world. You know, we saw the beautiful work coming out of the Luris, the Resta, and it was a piece that came out of Cape Town as well, purely because I think that there's a lack of that same diversity that you talk about. Why is it that you think that I mean, and I mean, especially coming from a guy from Cape Town, you know, and a guy who kind of understands the diversity that exists there and the possibilities in the way that people think in Cape Town. Why is it that you think that culture? Because we all know the culture in Cape Town is dope.
Yeah,
you know, like the culture scene in Cape Town is dope, but it feels like it's not filtering into advertising. Why do you feel like it's not getting into the agencies?
Yes, I don't know. I think it's like Cape Town is a bubble there. Like it's a beautiful little bubble and it's amazing. And the mountain is there, the sea's there, like culture restaurants, all that stuff is there. But that does create like a little echo chamber for stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that there's the broader Cape Town society that is not, there's a lot of diversity, I think, in different nations coming into Cape Town.
Yeah.
But that, you have the same thing in Spain, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't make it that much different from the European city. I think that's why it's kind of has that feeling.
Because also I feel like sometimes we're a bit too hard on it. You know, like sometimes I say like it must try to be a bit more South African. But truth of the matter is like the makeup of Cape Towners will always be different to the makeup of Joburg. So it shouldn't be trying to replicate a Joburg. But I do think that some of the influences that live in and around the spaces of the agencies should be filtering and seeping through the walls of the agency so that we can start to see that kind of work. And not just for PSAs, you know. I shouldn't just be seeing, you know, like colored guys because, you know, we're doing the drinking and driving thing or because we're doing a gangsterism thing. Shut the fuck up. There must be other things that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, but let's not get too much into that shit.
Yeah, I hate the Cape Town Joburg argument.
Yeah, let's leave it. Yeah,
doing it for 8 years.
Yeah. But now tell me what's next for 10 to 5? What are you guys planning ahead?
Yeah, so 10 to 5 is actually part of a bigger business, which is, well, it's 10 to 5, really. It's called the same thing, but it's, we want to launch more publishing titles.
Okay.
So I have another publishing title called Next Weekend, which is more on adventure,
outdoor
lifestyle kind of stuff. It's been a little bit dormant, but we've done some cool stuff in there. We're reigniting that again now.
Awesome.
And then we're working on a really interesting deal with an international publisher. Complex.com. Yeah, we're working with them we're already representing them locally from an advertising perspective.
Yeah.
And we're now developing our first show with them as well. We're launching a sneaker show with Complex. And then we're hoping to launch Complex at Sierra Zeta next year sometime.
Yes, Uno, when do you sleep, man?
Yeah, we have a pop-up restaurant. Yeah. So I don't know.
Tell us about this pop-up restaurant. Yeah, then.
So my partner and I, Leanne, she's also Tenify's creative director.
Right. Shout out, Leanne. What's going on?
And because we work so much together, we often just talk about work.
Yeah.
And one of the main things about 10 to 5 is that you should have influence from different spheres, right?
Yeah.
And she loves cooking. So we found this little pop-up restaurant. Well, we found a space, a studio apartment below us in our apartment block.
Yeah.
Walked past it was airing, and we thought, well, hey, let's do a thing.
We could do a thing.
Let's do a thing. So we've been running a little pop-up restaurant for the past 6 months.
That's insane. Where is that?
It's called Osteria Vincenzo.
Yeah.
You can find it on Facebook.
Dope.
We take 8 people. We serve South Korea, Southeast Asian style
That's
food.
That's just insane.
Yeah.
That's just insane. Guys, I told you guys. Guys, G-Man the Ad-Man is here for you. I'm going to send you to restaurants. I'm going to send you to publications. I mean, I'm going to send you everywhere around the world.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do out here. Uno, you won't believe it, man. I'm almost out of time. This hour just flies by, man. It feels like we just started getting into it.
Yeah.
But fuck, dude. I mean, what a dope hangout. What a dope chat.
It's been fun.
But now, I mean... And I just want to go back to the whole advertising thing again. I mean, if there was something you could give... A piece of advice that you could give to somebody who's just gotten a new brief right now, that is asking to, you know, that has been asked to tap into the psyche of like Joburg, of SA culture, SA youth culture.
Yeah.
What piece of advice would you give that person right now?
I think two contradicting pieces.
Yeah.
Right? So the first is trust your gut and do what it is that you think is right. That's from personal experience. Yeah. And the second is disregard that entirely and put yourself in someone else's shoes.
Dope.
So many times I see people go like, okay, sample of one, what's going to resonate with me?
Yeah.
And that happens so much in the advertising world, right?
Yeah.
And I think I was quite lucky that I've only worked on ad campaigns that resonate with me.
That's right.
So I'm quite lucky in that sense. But a lot of other people do that for, like, they're a straight white male trying to sell Huggies to moms, you know?
Yeah.
So how are you going to do that? You have to be able to put yourself in other people's shoes. Do the research. Find the right people that you can talk about that stuff.
That's insane. It's also insane that we have to remind people of this stuff, because this is stuff that you kind of think everyone should know. You know, maybe that's just like 101.
Great, I think great advertising says, cool, I'm this kind of guy, I'm this kind of person, but I'm going to take a problem, find an audience somewhere, find the buyer, like find like the consumer and connect them with this product.
That's right.
And find the creative strategy in between and really understand that audience and not think that audience or that consumer is me.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
And also not assume that consumer is looking for me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not out there looking for me.
No.
You know what I mean? Dude, fuck, what a dope hangout, man.
Yeah. Awesome.
I wish we could hang out for a bit more, but you know, there are rules at this place as well. You know, it's Cliff Central, it's on radio, but there are rules. There are rules. But fuck, what a dope hangout. It's been such a cool hour.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
So thanks for coming through. Thanks once again to the homie Mr. Chiefs for making it happen.
Boom.
Because I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but you make it happen, Mr. Cheese. But yeah, guys, it's been another dope hangout here with G-Man the Ad Man. And I hope you know what, I hope you're going to take this podcast and you'll play it around your office. Take this podcast and play it in your car, on your way to work, on your way to Kitchener's, you know, play it wherever you're going. And remind everyone around you of what some of the important stuff we spoke about out here. Like I say every week, guys, take care of yourself. Take care of those briefs, but most importantly, take care of each other. Because it's rough out there. It's rough in that ad world. But at the same time, like I always say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom! G-Man the Ad Man.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
With G-Man, the Ad Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Well, fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is clipcentral.com.